welcome to Pod What Up. I am Daniel Smenest, your host, and today we're going to dive into an historic moment in evangelism. We're joined by Nathaniel Manning, who recently led an incredible initiative called Firewave. 74 evangelists, 10 days, and 500,000 young people reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ in Kenya. Today we will hear about the vision, the challenges, the stories that move hearts, and the impact of this unprecedented mission. You are in for an inspiring episode here on Pod What Up. All right, Nate, welcome so much to Pod What Up. You are an integral part also of our ministry. You're one of our evangelists. And earlier this year, or actually even last year, you came to me with a vision, a burden in your heart to take on a whole nation. Please just take us back how the Lord spoke to you about coming here to Kenya and take on this massive initiative that you have just accomplished. It's just finished right now, actually. We just are here at the hotel chilling after 10 days of massive impact. So please take us back, Nathaniel.
Come on. Thank you, Daniel. Yes, it's even amazing that we're standing here right now, sitting here right now, because we are at the final note of it. We are having the celebration lunch today, and just to celebrate what God has done over the course of the 10 days. But just to pull you back inside of the timeline, it was really November, December of last year, 2024. And I'm just one day in a normal devotional, I'm reading through my Bible, and then I'm also thinking about the nations, and I pull up an app that we use within CFAN called the Red Map. And inside of the Red Map, you can search up any country in the world, and you can locate all thousands upon thousands of locations spread out all across whatever country you want. So I just searched up Kenya, and I'm just looking, and every location on the map, it's either marked with a green dot, which means that it has not been reached with the gospel, or it's a red dot, means that it's been washed in the blood of Jesus. And so I'm just looking at the map of Kenya on the red map, and I'm just seeing, man, there's way too many green dots, meaning it has not been reached yet. There's quite some that have been reached, but and I just looked at that, and I'm just seeing just it burning inside of me, man, we could take this nation so quickly with the resources that we have, but most importantly, the people that we have. Within CFAN is a massive network of evangelists. I can't recall how many they have really trained up, but it's thousands of them, and all it takes is just bringing them together and setting the vision before them to reach this nation. So that's really where it started, just in a morning devotional looking at the red map. Yeah,
that's amazing. Yeah, I mean, as you said, we are collaborating with Christ for All Nations, founded by Rena Bonke, and we are also part of the Evangelism Alliance that CFAN has.
Yeah,
and they have around 6,000 now trained evangelists.
That's incredible.
Which is an amazing, staggering number. And also, I think that sets one up to actually have the impact that we have seen.
Just briefly,
share with me like your heart for the nations. I mean, taking a whole nation, even just to have the boldness and courage to think in those terms. Tell us.
Yeah, I would say it started kind of small. I think that it was a stepping stone every single trip that we came on. But I want to backtrack actually a little bit, because in Psalm 2, verse 8, it says, "Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, the whole earth as your possession." And this is a crazy Bible verse that I think that we can so easily overlook. Like, that is a crazy promise that God wants to give us the nations, but not only that, it's our inheritance and the whole earth as our possession. And I think it started around 8 years ago, where I'm praying about going on a mission trip to Thailand, and right before, it was a Sunday morning, and an evangelist actually came up to me and he says, have you asked for the nation of Thailand? And I'm like, no. And I'm just struck with this moment. And he's just saying, you need to go and ask him. And just by the command of him, I went down to the altar and said, God, can I have Thailand? And I'm just sitting there just asking the Lord this. And I hear his voice say, it is yours.
Yeah.
And that was the first moment that I simply asked for the nations. Now, fast forward 8 years later, and we're connected with CFAN and graduated fire camp, boot camp, and then onto the mission field. And I think it really sparked my faith with Laura and you guys. You collaborated together. I believe it was 4 locations at that time, the very first Firewave model. And around 35 evangelists came together, and within 10 days, I don't remember the number, I think it was just shy of 300,000 decisions for Jesus. And I'm thinking, this is crazy. So that dream is, that faith is still inside of me for the next one.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, now I have this devotional, I see the red map, I'm thinking, man, all it takes is just bringing more people together to be able to reach, the youth of Kenya. And I think it just kind of sparked from that, seeing it's possible with 35 to reach just shy of 300,000. So,
I think what you're saying there, you can't really underestimate that. I mean, to just be in the presence of God.
Yeah.
I mean, what happens there is really he births forth his ideas inside of our hearts.
Truly.
I remember I talked to you in the car here the other day as well, how easy it is to abort and just dismiss those ideas and visions that God give, because sometimes they're just so far beyond our imagination.
Yeah.
And we so easily think, how can we pull this together?
Yeah.
Not really counting in God in the equation.
Truly.
So we will come more back to that.
Yeah.
But I really want to just ask you, what really is a Firewave? Not everybody is familiar
That's
with
true.
That term.
Yeah.
What is it? Like, what does it contain?
Yeah.
And just bring us into it.
Yeah. So I think the original Firewave model is having a team coming together, but you are spreading out between different cities in that nation. And originally you start with 10 individuals at that location. You have a location leader, you have an assistant, and then 8 other runners. Of course, on our team, we have a crazy evangelist where they blew it actually double. So their teams were around 20 with Otto and Heidi. They blew it out of the water. But originally, you're just gathering a team and spreading across different cities. And together, you're just able to reach so much more. And I think it really has the ability through the key of multiplication to reach so much more.
Yeah.
When you spread out, you see even CFAN doing it with the Decapolis Crusades. And so I think it's taking on a similar model.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on. It's really, really beautiful. Now, we have reached over 500,000 youth face to face.
Yeah.
We have seen 380,000 decisions for Jesus and 5,500 healing miracles.
It's insane to
That's
hear.
Incredible. That's just incredible to me, to just to think about that.
Yeah.
And just how a simple yes, even from your side, you've been sparking this great wave of blessing over the nation.
Yeah.
I think it is really, really beautiful. We started in the ministry with only a team of 2
right.
in the very beginning.
Yeah.
And I think this is really profound as well, because I think the Lord is growing us into his calling.
Yeah.
Sometimes we can see and aim for the masses, but kind of pass beyond our soul and steady growth. I mean, we started with 2 teams, with 2, and then we had 4 teams, and then we had 8 teams, and then we had 16 teams, and now we had, I don't know how many teams?
35 teams.
35 teams with 2, right?
Yeah.
With 74 evangelists. Just talk to us a little bit about that, the steady growth, to not kind of overstretch yourself and kind of walk in the pace of your own soul, even scaling up the things that God speaks.
Yeah. I'll answer that, but I'll pull it back actually to the original thought. It wasn't God saying, take the nation of Kenya. Mm. It was really a thought, man, this could be possible. It was a simple thought that God wanted to give it to us. And also, I just pulled my calculator out and I'm just dividing up. How can we reach, okay, there's 15 million youth in Kenya. How can we reach at least one of 1 million, you know? And I'm just dividing it up and I see, all right, to reach 4 million, we need 274 evangelists. That's 27 locations. And we would be able to reach it.
Come on.
That was the original thought.
Yeah.
And so even on this trip, we had 6 cities, 35 teams. Mm. And so we didn't reach like the 27 cities that I originally had the thought about. Mm. And well, like you said, it started with 2, 4, 8, now 35 teams. Mm. And you see this motion of increments that God's given us. And I think the second thought about that, how we are able to do that and how it comes about, is I like to think of weights, like lifting weights. Like, it would be just very foolish of me if I go into the weight room and I say, yeah, put on 425 pounds on each side and try and bench press that. That's just absurd. I would break my back or whatever. I would be injured completely. And so to think of it in that area, if we actually went for 27 cities, things wouldn't work. Systems wouldn't work. But we have to really grow into that model, that vision of the 27 and even far beyond. So I think it's simply working out that vision, working out that miracle.
Yeah.
It's really true. But like, take us into the planning of this. I mean, it's a massive logistics around this.
Yeah.
Take us into some of the key components that really makes up a really good FireWave.
Yeah.
And maybe some of the preparation stages before coming here. Like, what does it really take to put on something like this?
Yeah. I'll give you the timeline. It took around 10 months of admin work. Yeah. But I would also say that it was not just me. Like, you hear me speaking about the FireWave, but I have a beautiful team behind me.
Exactly.
One of them, a key person, is my wife, Leia.
Come on.
She is so key and vital part of this. She is such an encourager, such a champion of me. And there were so many moments, countless moments, where I wanted to give up. I wanted to just like... All right, push it away, because it just didn't seem possible. And it's so far in advance, and I'm like just wavering and wrestling with it day and night, waking up like restless. I mean, you think 10 months of preparation and you're so tired even before you get to it, you know?
Yeah.
And so key people inside of it is my wife, Leia, and also Heidi as well. She is a true hero. My wife and Heidi are Germans, which you're married to a beautiful German as well. And you know that the Germans, and they carry a strength called admin. And truly, it wouldn't have been possible as well without Heidi.
Mm.
Heidi has been such a champion, such a fighter of just planning through it. I can carry the vision, but sometimes I'm missing how to actually get there. And so Heidi was the one, hey, maybe we do this and this, and it really, hey, let's have a call, and I'm reaching out to her, what do you think about this? So really just puzzle piecing everything together to where the launching day, we actually kind of have a great picture of what it would look like. So over the course of 10 months, and also a huge weight of it was off of my shoulders, because it's divided between 6 different cities. So we have 6 different location leaders, and they have assistants, maybe even 2 assistants, and they're really pulling together the 74 evangelists. Our job was to pull together 6 to 10 location leaders. And then their job, part of it, is pulling 50% of their team, locking in their hotel, locking in their city. So the load, if you look at it, is very much divided amongst them. It would be quite impossible for me to pull together 74 people. I just don't have relationships with all of them, but they do in their communities. And I think another key part of it is keeping it about family, which you model so well, and we've really gleaned from and honored from that family aspect of, hey, this is a family army that we're running into the harvest with. And there's no other model that I want to do, because we're not just sending out soldiers, but we're running together. And the location leaders are bringing together their community. the ones that they raised up in the fire camps or the Jesus camps. They're connected with all of these massive networks, and it's so easy to pull 5%, 10% of that. So just kind of a short breakdown, the timeline, but also how the weight distributed is across the team. I think that is really how we were able to effectively reach this.
Beautiful. Let me just pick your heart a little bit on, you mentioned some discouragement and maybe some disillusioned, you know, moments before. Bring us back into some of the things that you maybe felt in the moment was like a setback, and how did you actually overcome that?
Yeah.
There are so many variables, you know, when you set up a huge thing like this, and also the human aspect of things as well, where people either say, oh, sorry, I can't come, or suddenly more people are coming on. And how did you navigate that, and how did you take that on?
Yeah, I think that there were quite a few challenges building the team. I mean, you really don't even know who's coming until they have flights. So you really, a lot of it is by faith. Of course, we're living by faith throughout this whole entire journey. But a part of it is you're inviting people. For example, my hardest job was pulling together the location leaders. Then they're getting their assistance. I originally wanted to pull together 10 location leaders. At one point we had 9, at another point we had 10, and then another point we have 7, and then drop down to 6. So yeah. There's
how
a lot.
How did you feel then when these kind of changes came into play?
It's a wrestle. It's such a wrestle on your heart. You really have to fight for people, but also you have to fight how you see people as well. Mm. I think that's kind of the biggest challenge about it. But you just have to cover in love. Like, I think that God is really looking at your response. He's really looking at your heart and how you respond to people when they disappoint you. You have to be ready for that. And I think that through this journey, I think that my response towards people was sharpened when maybe they disappointed me or they said yes, but then they dropped off, you know, very close to it coming. And so, but I just cover in love, like, hey, bless you. You hear the Lord, go for it, run, you know? And so you just have to keep things, your heart guarded truly, and let go, forgive. And
yeah,
I think that that makes things a lot easier.
Yeah, come on. And God is really a God of miracles. Take us back to some key miracles, or like where you actually felt God was just like doing something great in the preparation, setting things up, where you're just like, man, yeah, God is really on this, how he provided, or how he was just like, bringing things together.
I'd say a few, down to individual miracles, but also financial miracles and logistically miracles taking place. So I would say on an individual level, we're planning, inviting people and sending out hundreds of invites to people, tossing it into different communities. And one particular invite that I sent out, someone that said no, but then later on in the trip, kind of in that wrestle of like, God, is this even going to come together? Are we going to hit the mark? And then that person comes back to me, hey, God spoke to me, woke me up in the night and said, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, hey, you're going to be a part of this and you're going to be running with this team. So I'm giving you my yes now. So it's like, all right, God is speaking to people. Another person, she's coming from Brazil and saying, hey, God spoke to me about the fire wave. I didn't want to come, but God is speaking to me. I need to be a part of this harvest. Mm. And so you see God speaking to the individuals. And I love to see that because it takes the pressure off of me. Like, we ask, but he sends it back.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm for you.
Yeah.
So that's on an individual note. I think
Let me ask, like, how many do you know how many nations are represented in the firewave approximately? Yeah.
17 nations.
17
plus.
Different nations.
Different nations.
Have been a part, even from Pakistan, actually.
Pakistan all the way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Czech.
Yeah.
Ukraine.
Brazil. Man. Yeah, I mean, I can't even list all of them.
Netherlands, really well. Germany.
Yeah. All over
the place.
Even locals here in Kenya jumping on board because we have Jesus camps that are sparking up in the nations and raising up. And I think that's a beautiful part about it as well, is that it's not only 74 evangelists from 17 different nations, it's actually 35 locals being a part of it, either drivers, translators, or even evangelists in the field. So it's such a massive network in nations coming together for the nation of Kenya.
Come on. It's really beautiful. Let's move on a little bit to the actual execution of the whole fire wave and how it's been for you here on the ground.
Yeah.
Like, give us some kind of feeling of how it has been for you to actually see things start to unfold.
Yeah.
See all these youth starting to, to experience Jesus, and just like how the teams have been running over the last 10 days.
Yeah. Coming together was absolutely wild. We have, you can imagine, we're in a massive warehouse and we organize X amount of books and X amount of speakers laid out, and then 35, 40 cars start rolling in with all of the teams lining up, loading up their vehicles, parking, and then just imagine a circle of 120 people circled around like, all right, we're ready.
I remember I saw like a clip of that because I was in Germany at that point.
Yeah.
And my heart was just so touched seeing, you know, this circle of fire praying, interceding for what's about to happen.
Yeah. And this has never been done before.
Exactly.
On this scale of a team for youth crusades.
Yeah.
And so that was really like, man, is this going to happen? And also, we're here, it's possible, and we're about to go out. So we see them launch out into their cities after rallying together, filled with the Holy Spirit.
So in a warehouse, what did they do there? Like, what did they...
Yeah, so we basically, I mean, it comes down to a lot of logistics of making sure everyone has X amount of books, X amount of speakers for the teams that they've prepared. And so we have six cities, so then we have six sections. And so 40 cars coming in, loading up their vehicles, and then... branching out into six different directions.
And the books, what are those?
What is so we have What's Next books, and those are the discipleship material that we give to every single student. So you mentioned earlier that we reached over 551,000 youth. So every single youth received one little booklet. And inside of that booklet is giving them a great picture of how to follow Jesus. What is next? And so we give them verbalized instructions, but they have this with them. Many of them don't have a Bible, but they have this little booklet to really cling on to, and it's visuals of Jesus and how to walk with him, how to have a conversation with him, the simplicity of a relationship with Jesus. And we believe that they will grow up having that internal conversation with the Lord every day, looking at that, that Jesus loves them and wants to have a personal relationship.
Wow. And reaching a 500,000, I mean, it's momentum. How do you say it? Momentum?
Yeah, that's it.
But how does the team, how do you encourage the teams, and how does the team leaders actually keep the focus? I mean, 10 days in the field, working from early morning till 4, 5, 6 sometimes in the evening. How do you manage to keep the focus and keep people, you know, up-spirited about what's happening?
Yeah, fueled for it, Again, you have to, I mean, my job is how to respond. So I think I take it to how the Lord responds to me. And how he champions on me. I can only give what I've received first. And so the teams that are running, some are getting sick, some are going to the hospital. Like, there is obstacles throughout the way. But I just have to simply be available for it all, for the mess, for the crazy moments and crazy miracles. I just have to be ready for it. And also my wife and Heidi. And like, some of them were, I'm getting calls, hey, there's food poisoning, like they're going to the hospital. What should we do? All right, gather your team. Let's pray together. Have communion. Come under the blood of Jesus. You know, pray for that. Press in for that breakthrough. You're doing so well. So I'm speaking into the leaders, and they're, many of them are doing it for the first time as well. And I'm just speaking to them, hey, great job. Like, keep going. You're running so strong. Even if they have a bad day and only one team out, great job sending out that one team, you know? Great job just having, hosting communion, family nights. And I think me and a gift that God has given me is it as an encourager. And so that comes very easy. And so that's what I'm doing the entire time. Great job, great run. Even if they, you know, Otto's team is just ridiculous. And they, you know, one day Otto reached like 17 schools in one day.
That's amazing.
And I'm just like, how do you do that? He's got, you know, tricks in the trade. And so, but also another team where they only sent out one team. My response is the same.
Yeah.
Great job. You've been faithful with little. you know, go for more again. So I think it never really changes encouragement all the way.
Yeah. Just bring me into, you mentioned family nights.
Yeah.
Like, bring us into some of the components. You know, like, we have done these youth campaigns now for a little while.
Yeah.
And have kind of found some key components that are really important for the team dynamic.
Sure.
To create the culture. And of course, sure, we give the team leaders the freedom to do this their way.
Yeah.
But what are, like, throughout the week, like, what are some of the key components really that brings the team together, that keeps them fueled up, fired up, that you would just like to bring out?
Yeah, I would say it's something that you set up even within JTANS. So I've experienced firsthand really what family nights are. So basically, family nights are hosted on Tuesdays or Thursdays, or what happened this week actually is every single night is a family night.
Yeah, there are some guys who are just teams, to be together.
Yeah, they just really...
No rest.
Yeah, no rest. But yeah, that's just what they wanted to do. So we really give them freedom. But we also chose location leaders that already host this themselves. Like, they are really family players. Like, they really host that well already.
I mean, we've been on the field with many of them going together.
Seriously. Yeah.
And so we are already so linked in, you know, like, being friends, but also having the same spiritual DNA and understanding on really how to cultivate a good culture doing this.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to run your head off, you know.
Exactly.
Especially as evangelists, it's easy to have this high-paced,
right,
you know, and you see all these crowds and numbers and it's the push in it. But how to kind of reel in a little bit and to base everything off of presence, the presence of God and rest. Take us there a bit.
Yeah. I would just say why we have this key of family is because, like, family hosts a limitless fuel for the mission field.
It's beautiful.
There's nothing else that will keep will give you fuel rather than being connected to mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. No matter what sphere of influence you are in, you need a community, you need family. Just as much here on the mission field, that it's a fast pace, it's an evangelistic movement, and so we are going at a pace that most people can't really handle, and we do see that, but we have this aspect of family. So it's hosted on Tuesdays, Thursdays. What does that look like? It's breaking bread with one another, having meals, sharing testimonies, how they encountered God or how people encountered God, miracles, signs, and wonders that they encountered, that they witnessed for the very first time. Also having communion, remembering what Jesus has done so that we have that inside of us, that Jesus is in front of us. He's the author and finisher of our faith. We look to him, and as we do that, he gives us everything that we need. I remember marking moments on the first trip where I encountered Jesus so powerfully. And we cannot preach unless we have witnessed Jesus ourselves and witnessed the cross. And I remember moments on a mission trip where we're having a family night. I'm exhausted, wasted, need sleep. I'm thinking, why am I coming here late, you know, to fellowship? I need sleep. But I remember diving into scripture and looking at Jesus, and I just encountered him so powerfully. I'm weeping for an hour at what he's done. And it fueled me all the way until today. That moment, that marking moment, experiential truth set me free to run even farther and faster. And we want to give that to each and every one of them. We don't want just for you to run. We want you to encounter Jesus on the mission field.
That's very important. It's very key. Yeah. And we have seen in these family meetings how even, you know, those who are maybe there for the very first time or even has run for many years, how they are being encountered by the presence of God in profound ways, and even new kind of assignments and callings and where to go, and all those things are being released because it happens in family. And one thing is, as we said in the very beginning, one thing is that it happens, you know, you personally engaging with the Lord.
Yeah.
But also in a corporate setting, God is birthing forth something, and it spills over even what some are carrying. The grace is spilling over.
Yes.
So it's really like a mutual, like upbuilding, uplifting in those settings.
Truly.
Now, you have been traveling around to the different locations. What are some of the testimonies that they share, some of the experiences that they have made, some highlights that they have experienced? Can you bring us there?
Yeah, so we traveled between 6 different cities, Capsabit, Indaragua, Kitui, Meru, Chuka, and Mawa. So 6 of them across Kenya. And I can just testify that every single location has their own flavor of joy, has their own flavor of family. For example, one of them, you know, we suggested have family nights on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Well, we show up to one of the locations and they're just having family night every single night. And so you get to experience that, get to encounter that, how they're hosting family. And so I think that was already just a beautiful picture. Experiencing every single location, having their own wineskin, that we did our best to give them freedom. Hey, just run it. Like, you, it's your family. Do it. Really be hands off. And then we get to come in, and there's so much joy in one location. Another one, they're sending hilarious stickers inside of their chats. Like, that was their joy, was sending, you know, finding little memes of each other, sending it. And so you see these little things, and it's just a beautiful picture of family.
Yeah. And so take us into, because I've seen also, I came with you the last days, been traveling around, and many are there for the very first time.
Yeah, it's
right?
True.
And they have a burning desire to preach the gospel. I remember in one location, it was like, what was one testimony? Something that stuck out to you, like, why are you here?
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm here to preach.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here to preach the gospel. And it's just like, finally, like a running path to actually let out what God has called them to do.
Yes.
But what are some of the kind of the testimonies from them that really stuck out to you?
Yeah, two of them actually from the same location. One of them said, I'm here because God spoke to me at 7 years old that I'd be preaching the gospel in Kenya. Another one at 13 has dreams of thousands of children just before her and also sharing the gospel. That's crazy. Like, the Lord is really, he's authoring something in their lives way before this even takes place. Many years, even in childhood moments, God marking them for the nations. And this is just simply a fulfillment of those visions.
Yeah.
I think those two really marked me.
Yeah. And just for any listener right now, I mean, the those who are in this fire web and doing these youth campaigns, they have undergone training together with CFAN, because this is an evangelist, you know, CFAN Evangelism Alliance initiative that we have the privilege to host this time.
True.
So, like, if anybody is out there, they say, hey, I really would love to join this, to really have a massive impact, you know, to be part of a fire web where hundreds of thousands of people actually come to the Lord. What are some of the steps that they would need to take if they are from Europe or Africa or Asia or South America or America? Where, like, what would be the next step for them?
Yeah, I would say that it is all going through the filter of the Christ for All Nations trainings. So that is what really we use to be able to run with integrity, run with holiness, and really just run with that evangelism calling. So I'd probably say step one, ask God for the nations.
Yeah.
Truly. That's where it sparks. That's where it begins, that a personal encounter where God is calling you into the nations, a calling is unlocked. The second one is you need training. So we have many trainings before us within the Christ for All Nations network. The first one that I probably can point you to is either a fire camp or even a Jesus camp. Those would really spark that fire and equip you for what is the gospel and also with boldness to preach in the streets.
Come on.
That is a 5 to 10 day initiative where they train you up what is the gospel and to preach with boldness in the streets. And then also we have available the School of Evangelism and then also the School of Ministry.
Yeah.
I believe is the newest one.
Yeah.
And those filters will really equip you, empower you, but also bigger than that, will have a heart transplant of what God wants to do in your life, of confirming your calling as an evangelist, confirming what he's speaking to you and confirming what he's given you of the nations, and also reestablishing that the harvest is ripe. I believe that many people, they don't really see what we see right now. Even you've shared, even recently, there's so many missionaries in the nations. They've planted their lives, their families in nations, but they never see one person come to Jesus. And but what we're actually coming in is a specific calling of proclamation of the gospel.
Yeah.
And the Bible says in Romans 1:16 that the gospel is the power unto salvation. So just there we see when the gospel is proclaimed, that there is a process into salvation. That is the fulfillment when you preach. And so what we're doing, we're simply walking in that principle. If we preach, people are going to get saved.
Yeah.
And so I'd say that those are the filters. Those are the trainings available for you. And take a step of faith. Quit your job. Run. Get into this network. I mean, I can say quit your job because I've quit mine. I was also working a 9-to-5 job, but a fire inside of me began to burn, knowing that I needed to answer the call of God on my life. And maybe that's you, and you want to get connected to a Jesus camp, a fire camp, or an SOE, or the SOM. Sign up. If that fire is inside of you, if you feel the calling to the nations and you know that the harvest is ripe, then sign up. And I believe that you will be sent out in Jesus' name.
It's very good. And I think it's also important to say, like, as an evangelist, it's usually, I think, together with the prophet, if you think about the fivefold ministry, is one of the offices or even the callings on an individual level, even if you're not called to be like a seasoned fivefold evangelist.
Right.
It's many times a very lonely run because we are just wired differently, think differently. There is a sharper edge to the evangelist. It's very black and white.
Yeah.
It's, you know, life and death.
That's right.
It's heaven or hell, you know, it's turn or, it's not turn or burn, but it's a little bit like, it is actually that edge that the evangelist is carrying.
Yeah.
And I think even this calls for something that is really like a family network, you know, and so even me and our ministry, we have our own path with the Lord in like calling on our lives, but we are a part of a greater network, you know, for this reason.
Yeah.
You know, I need family.
That's
you
right.
know, I need people to stand together with,
not just
to accomplish a piece of work and to fulfill a vision, but actually to be thriving, following Jesus. So
exactly.
I think that's also a really big key, you know, with this training. Is the one thing is you're trained and equipped.
Yeah.
The other thing is that you really have a running path
exactly.
to actually go into the field, which you are really yearning for, longing for. But in that, you also encounter family, friendships, you know, like where we are on the field, we meet again. It's like reunion, being out
time.
There and together. We are just like, it's such an ease. It's not just like, okay, it's new people. And of course, that's the beauty to that too.
Exactly.
But also you meet again and again, being out there and really transforming nations.
Yeah.
And let me just tap into that. Like, what do you think that this really means for the youth of Kenya? I mean, 500,000 youth have heard the gospel, have encountered Jesus in one way or another.
Yeah.
380,000 decisions for Christ, over 5,500 miracles.
Yeah.
I mean, knowing that in these settings, you know, we have, you know, the future politicians, the future, you know, Matatu driver or the banker or the politician. What do you think that this actually means for the future of this generation?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that we have ideas of what it will do to a nation, but we also see testimonies of actually what can happen to a nation when the gospel is preached. I'm thinking of a few schools that we were preaching in, and actually two presidents came up out of that school that they were preaching in. And we actually have no idea who we're preaching to. Like you said, it's the next politicians, the governors, or maybe they're the next hotel owners or whatever it is. You cannot...
They're all there.
They are all there. And you cannot scatter 500,000 gospel seeds into a nation and not bear much fruit. It's quite impossible. It's quite impossible. The seed of the gospel always bears fruit.
Yeah.
And just to even that alone, we can really rest on, we can really trust that it's going to bear much fruit. But I would just say even this, we don't know if we've just reached the next president of Kenya. Like our seeds, they go so much farther than just what we've seen and what we've collected. It goes farther into the individual life and transforming them. And I believe it transforms a nation, but it redirects the trajectory of where a nation is going. It takes one person to come up and say no to the devil, no to things that the devil wants to bring and corruption, all of that. It takes one person to say no.
Hmm.
What about 500,000 of them saying, no, I'm going to give my whole heart to Jesus and I'm going to follow him for the rest of my life.
Hmm.
You spark a movement. I think that's what captures a fire wave. it's a continual movement. It's a crashing down on a nation, and we really are just sparking it.
Yeah.
Truly.
Really beautiful.
But I also want to say this, and even going back to that invitation to join the CFIN family or the JTANS family or the Evangelist Alliance is also me going into fire camp and also graduating boot camp. I did not ever think that I was an evangelist. I didn't know. And it was only actually after I graduated boot camp that the Lord confirmed to me, no, you are. This is what I've called you to do. And there's grace for you for a season. And I'm just seeing it that the Lord confirms it even later on. And so even if you have that question, I want to speak to you. If you have that question and you're thinking, well, I'm not an evangelist, I'm kind of shy. But if you have that fire inside of you to preach and proclaim the gospel, then God is calling you. So I just want to step back a moment for that. But the impact, we really don't know what will happen. But we are truly just fulfilling the Great Commission. I believe it. And this is just the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is just the beginning. This is only a small 5% of or 1% of what we really want to go after. Like the nation of Kenya is to be reached, and I believe that we will do it sooner than we think. Maybe in the next couple of years, we will reach all of it.
Amen. And I think we believe in preaching the gospel. Yeah. We also do gospel campaigns.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a whole different dynamic to it, because you reach a city and you reach into government and you reach different segments of society. But I think that the youth campaigns, you hit the whole future society
entirely
in one go.
Entirely.
And I think that is really significant. And we know just by the statistics, you know, that even 75% of the population of Africa are under the age of 25.
Yep.
And 25, you know, the people that receive Jesus in their lifetime, these are like worldwide statistics.
Yeah.
They make a choice to receive Jesus before they turn 25. It's actually 75% of those who receive Christ in their lifetime who do that in that age.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, if anybody would be into business, they would aim for that segment of society.
Exactly.
And of course, we owe the next generation a clear presentation of the gospel.
Yeah, and like you said, we're going after the future of Kenya. Like there is a current state, but we are going after the future, and we believe that will bring it into the victory that Jesus wants it. It will bring it into a nation that is under God. And I think that both of us are in agreement about reaching the nation at large. We're not just trying to reach a small village or one city or six cities. We want to go after the entire nation. And it's really not only, it's not even an evangelist's call. It's the Great Commission that God has given us at the bottom line. Yeah. So it doesn't matter who you are. You're called to preach. You're called to fulfill this Great Commission. And the time is now. Like, we have no idea when Jesus is coming back. We feel it. I don't know about you, but every day I wake up, I feel it's closer and closer and closer. Like, I need to get faster and faster and faster. And that's what we're seeing even here. God has given a strategy to be able to reach it faster and far wider than we could ever imagine.
Praise God. We have decided as a ministry for the next year, 2026, also to have 4 fire waves.
Yeah.
That's going to be amazing. I look so much forward to that. I mean, we're going to have a massive harvest.
Yeah.
And I really encourage anybody who listens to this to actually get on to that and to receive the training. We have open arms, open hearts to welcome you and to create this family for you and also a running path for you. We're going to have one in March that's going to be in Tanzania. We're going to have another one coming up in June again in Kenya. It's going to be amazing. So here things are prepared now. So you paved the way.
Come on.
This is beautiful. And then we have also one coming up in around September, which is going to be Uganda.
Yeah.
And then the last one next year will be around November in Thailand. Tell me, what has this done to you when it comes to just seeing into the near future? Would you like to take on more of these? What is the Lord speaking to you?
Yeah, I believe I would. I would 100%. I would do it 100% again. I'll just say that. And I believe that God, what happened here, God showed me what's possible. He showed me what's possible, but it's actually burning inside of me that it just grows, that it just gets so much bigger.
I look forward to the 26th location.
Yeah,
270 evangelists.
I think on that moment, I will, yeah, I don't know what I will do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
But it would just be a massive celebration. I think one for me, like a fulfillment, I believe I run with an assignment inside of me. And I think that that's what God has given me with the Firewave model is that, reaching for that. But I believe it's not about me. I think it sparks faith in other people. And I think I was doing my best to spark faith in others. Like next time you're going to lead the initiative. Next time you're going to lead, you know, a city. There are many assistants. They're going to be running their own cities now because they helped lead a city. And so
ripple effect.
It's a ripple effect, but it's also discipleship.
True.
A beautiful picture of discipleship on the field right now. You said it earlier, like discipleship, maybe we have thought that it's sitting down, reading the Bible and having some coffee one-on-one. That's beautiful and that's so needed. But what's happening here is another wineskin of discipleship. And I would even say it's closer to what Jesus was doing.
Right.
He gathered 12 and he walked with them. He ran with them. He held crusades with them. 5,000, 7,000 where he was preaching before them and they helped him be able to do that. And so this is discipleship.
Amen. Amen.
This is it.
Amen. Wow, what a powerful story. I think it's just beautiful to hear both how the Lord has laid this on your heart, how this all came about, some of the things that we have seen here on the field.
Yeah.
And I mean, if this has really touched your life, I really encourage you to both to subscribe to the channel, but also to share with somebody who you think this will truly inspire. Maybe they are in the verge of stepping out or have thoughts about, you know, hey, maybe I should go to the missions field. Give them this podcast, you know, to really fuel the fire and make sure to receive the training. You're welcome to join us. And look forward to see you again also another show here with Powered Up. So God bless you and thank you so much, Nathaniel, for sharing your heart with us.
Thank you so much.
God bless you.
God bless you all.